Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Batya Brander, and today we will be studying Hosea chapter 14, the final chapter of the book of Hosea. It's the Haftorah of Shabbat, prominently placed between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it begins with the words Shuva Yisrael. Well, technically, the second pasuk begins with the words Shuva Yisrael, but the Haftorah starts with the second pasuk. The first pasuk, which we actually learned at the end of chapter 13, starts with the words Vate'esham Shomron. And if you're tuning in now and have missed chapter 13, I suggest that you go back and learn this pasuk. Vate'esham Shomron, Shomron representing the northern kingdom, they've been guilty, or they've been made desolate, laid to waste. And some commentaries understand that this represents the end, the exile of the 10 tribes. Thus, chapter 14 is actually addressed to Malchus Yehuda. And so the juxtaposition of the words, Vate'esham Shomron, Shomron has been guilty or Shomron is destroyed, and Shuva Yisrael, do Tshuva Yisrael, as a cry out to the people of Yehuda saying, look what happened to Shomron. This is no joke. Learn from what happened to them so that it doesn't happen to you. Instead, repent, do Tshuva. Others understand this chapter as addressing the 10 tribes, although they are in exile. Either way, chapter 14 addresses the phenomenal question of how do we live in exile? How do we continue to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in exile? It also paints a beautiful picture of a future where we do succeed in having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we utilize the experience of exile to develop that relationship with him, thus fulfilling the message of chapter 2 of Hosea, where we experience the Midbar Ha'amim, the exile that's amongst the nations, but separate from the nations. And so let's begin. Perek Yudalet Pasuk Beis, chapter 14, verse 2. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, return, O Israel, up to Hashem your God. Ki kashalta ba'avonecha, for you have stumbled in your sins. Chazal express a beautiful idea that teshuva is so great that it could reach up to the Kisei HaKavod, the divine throne, the throne of glory. And they derive this from these words, Ad Hashem Elokecha, one could reach up to Hashem Elokecha. Rashi notes the use of the words Hashem and Elokecha, Hashem representing the midah of rachamim, the quality of mercy, and Elokecha, the midah, or the quality of judgment. He quotes in the name of Rabbi Meir, Shuva Yisrael ba'od shehu Hashem, b'midas harachamim, im lav Elokecha, midas hadin. Return to Hashem while he's still in a state of mercy. Don't wait until there's a status din of judgment. Hashem wants to be the defender. Don't wait until he's in the place of the prosecutor. And what does it mean to stumble in your sin? Either according to Rashi, stumbling is like falling, punishments. You've already been punished because of your sins. The Malbim understands this as you were not the primary cause of the sin. Others put stumbling blocks in front of you. He obviously is directing this to the 10 tribes when he says, Yeravam placed the golden calves. This was not an act of rebellion on your part. And so you have a great portal back because you really were either like by accident or forced in terms of your avera, your sin. And now the Navi offers a script. Kuchu imachem devarim. Take with you these words, v'shuvu el Hashem, and return to Hashem. Imru elav, say to him, kol tisa avon, carry all my sins. Kach tov, and take the good, the little good that I have. Take that, Hashem. Judge me only on the good things that I have. Uneshama parim svatenu, and replace bulls with our lips. This famous phrase, neshama parim svatenu, is the source of the idea that even in Golus, even though we don't have karbanot, sacrifices, but we always have tefillah wherever we are. And we'll replace the morning offerings and the afternoon offerings with appropriate tefillot of Shacharit, Mincha, and Arvit. The Chida, a Jerusalem sage who died in 1806, highlights the uniqueness of the expression Kechu imachem devarim, take with you devarim, words or things. Many are familiar with the pasuk from Tehillim, Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chaim, who is the man who desires life? Nitzor Lishoncha Meira, withhold your tongue from speaking evil. Sur Meirava Ase Tov, stay away from evil and do good. Vake Shalom Verod Fehu, seek peace and pursue it. Chiddah points out that in the step delineated, the very first is guarding one's speech, and only later avoiding bad and doing good. Here too, he says, perhaps it's the first step of doing tshuva, is observing what he calls the bris lashon, the covenant of speech, that the pasuk is instructing us to guard. Additionally, he says, it's possible that this pasuk is referring to how we say our words. Not just kuchu devarim, it's kuchu imachem devarim. Take the words with you. He says, perhaps this is hinting to the tfilos, the prayers and the blessings that we say, but our heart is not in it. Our heart is not with ourselves. He says, rather, kuchu imachem devarim. You and your words should be unified as one. And through that, return to Hashem, who indeed knows our thoughts and our intentions. He offers a third possible approach, that devarim here does mean thing. How does one express love? In the little things. Kuchu imachem devarim, show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the tshuva is me'ahava, from love, through the little extra things that we would do. Take these devarim and return to Hashem in speech, in thought, and in deeds. The Navi continues with the script. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Asher lo yoshienu. Yisrael, this is what you should say. Asher is not going to save us. Al sus lo narkav. We will not ride on a horse, representing the strength of Mitzrayim, who were known for the horses. V'lo nomar od Elokeinu l'ma'asei yadeinu. And to the works of our hands, we'll no longer call them gods with the lowercase g. Asher becha yirucham yasom. With you is mercy on the orphan. It is a complete turnaround from the past. We no longer rely on Assyria, on Egypt, nor on our foreign gods, idols that we made with our own hands. How does Asher becha yirucham yasom fit with the rest of the pasuk? You, Hashem, have mercy on the orphan. You think about the natural world. The orphan has no natural survival resources. We say it's not what you know, but who you know. Well, an orphan has no who you know, no leg up in the world. And yet their success is only because of God's divine mercy. You want to know what represents the opposite of the Darwinian world of nature, of survival of the fittest? It's Asher Becha Yirucham Yasom, success of the orphan, which only exists because of the unnatural intervention, the divine intervention of Hashem's protection. And if we say these two psukim, then pasuk hey, Hashem will say, Erpa Meshuvasam, I will heal your rebelliousness. Ohavim Nedava, I will love you like a gift, not like payment, which is what's due to you, but much more than you deserve, a gift. Kishav api mimenu, because my anger has turned away from you. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Ehaya ketal Yisrael, I will be like dew for Israel. Yifrach kashoshana, he will blossom like a rose. Vayach shoroshav kalvanon, its roots were struck like the Lebanon. The first two phrases are very positive. The last phrase, however, sounds almost negative. Its roots were struck. That doesn't sound like a good thing. And how can your roots be struck like Lebanon? The Malbim explains so beautifully. Once upon a time, you had the strongest roots on the planet, the roots of the cedar tree. But then Gullus came, and your roots were struck. And even though your roots were struck, nonetheless, Hashem says, Ehyeh ketal Yisrael, I will be like dew for Israel. Yifrach kashoshana, she will blossom like a rose. Think of dew. Wheat doesn't thrive on dew. Plants don't thrive on dew. But they do survive. They eke along. Dew is there day in, day out. You don't see it while it's falling, but you see the result of it afterwards. Such a beautiful parallel to Hashem's involvement in our lives in Gullus, where we aren't going to see it directly. We aren't going to see Nisim in the way that we saw them in the Beis HaMikdash and in biblical times. But when we stop, reflect, and look back, we'll know that it was there. The Malbim continues to describe a rose, a Jericho rose, that the nature books talk about. It's blown from desert to desert through the wind. Its roots are weak, and that's why it blows from place to place. But it's amazing, because wherever it lands, it reestablishes itself and plants itself with beauty and splendor. The liability, the disadvantage of having weak roots, it turns into an advantage by making it easily replanted. Does that not sound like the history of the Jews for the last 1950 years? The Navi continues, Pasuk Zion. Yes, the roots were struck, but what happens after a tree is chopped down? Sometimes, Yalchu Yon Kosav, young new branches emerge from near the base of the tree towards the roots. Vayihi kezayis hodo, and its glory will be like an olive tree. Vareach lo kalvanon, and its fragrance will be like a cedar of Lebanon. And though the parents experience the bitter exile, the children will begin to return and blossom. Evergreen, like an olive that blossoms both in the winter and in the summer. Livanon is also a nickname for the Beis HaMikdash, since the Beis HaMikdash was built primarily of cedar wood that grew in the Livanon, Lebanon. Reach, smell, something that's intangible. It's there, but we can't quite put our hands around it or measure it, like holiness and purity that's associated with the Beis HaMikdash. And so the children will be able to experience this. Pasuk Ches, Yashuvu Yoshvei V'tzilo, they will return. Those who dwell in its shade, Yichayu Dagan, they will live off the grain, V'yifrachu Kagafen, and they will blossom like grapes, Zichro Kiyein Livanon, its memory will be like the wine of Livanon. The Malbim, the sage who lived in the Ukraine in the 1800s, shares a beautiful explanation of this pasuk. He says, there will come a time when they will return. Who? Yoshvei Betzilo, those who want to dwell in the shade of the Livanon of the Beit HaMikdash, of Hashem's glory. So not everyone will return, but those who do, Yichayu Dagan, they will live off the grain of the land, because the land will finally begin to produce for them. V'yifrachu kagafen, and they will blossom like wine, like grapes, both representing the produce that will be created in the land of Israel, and the fact that the people themselves will be fruitful and multiply and have many children who will spread throughout the land. Zichro kiyein Livanon. Its memory, the memory of Yerushalayim, will be like the wine of Lebanon, which is apparently so delicious that once you drink it, you just think about it and you remember how wonderful it was. So too, those who don't actually go back to live in Israel, but they will remember Israel at all of their simchas. As we say, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, at our wedding, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem. And we'll remember Yerushalayim in all of our tefillos, because it never leaves our heart. How can we remember something we never had? How can we go back home to a place that we never were? And yet Israel has this collective quality that even people who've never been there, Jews who've never been there, feel like they're part of that place. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Ephraim, mali od la'atzabim. Ephraim will say, what more do I need with these idols? Ani anisi, says Hashem. I will answer, va'ashurenu, and I will gaze down on him. Ani kivrosh ra'anan. I am like a luscious vrosh tree, probably a cypress tree. Mimeni periecha nimtza. From me your fruit is found. Radak describes that this vrosh tree bends down, bends its head towards the ground. Ask any child to draw a tree, and he'll draw a trunk and then a curlyish thing above it for the tree's leaves. There's so clearly an upper portion and a lower portion. But the Radak says, no, this kind of tree is unique. The leaves and the branches are not way on top, way up on top, but rather they come all the way down to be mashgiach in our world, to watch over our world. And although this description sounds more like a willow tree, and the vrosh is more of a firish type tree, the horticulturists among us might recognize that even the vrosh, the leaves come all the way down towards the base of the trunk. And all the good and all the success that we experience is because Hashem is bending down to watch over our world, even while we're in Galus. The final pasuk, pasuk yud, Mi chacham v'yaven eila, navon v'yeda'em. Whoever is wise understands this. Whoever is understanding will know this. Ki yesharim darchei Hashem, because straight is the path of Hashem. V'tzadikim yelchubam, the righteous go in it. Ufoshim yekashlubam, and the sinners stumble in it. It takes practice. A tzaddik is someone who's practiced many times. But the sinner, he's going to stumble for a while before he finally gets it right. And that's okay, because he's on the right path, the righteous path of Hashem. The Radak here quotes his father in a beautiful pshat of this pasuk. He says there's three categories of people. There's the tzaddikim, the righteous people. They know the path. They're straight on the path. No stumbling there. There are the sinners who don't even want to be on the path, the Rishaim. And then there are the people who are the Shavim, the returners. And he says that there's two types of returners. There are Shavim Belev Shalem. There are those who return with an absolute complete heart. And there are Shavim Velibam Od Bepish'am. There are those who return, but their heart is still in their sin. Hashem is giving a bracha to those who return with all their heart, that they will have an experience like the tzaddikim, with no stumbling. An extra boost, bonus from Hashem for having returned with a complete heart. And those who return and their heart is still in their sin, they too can return, but it's not going to be so easy, and they'll be stumbling along the path. I appreciate this distinction, because I think for most of the time, I am shavim velibam od bepisham, returning, but my heart is still in the sin. You know, when people take on a mishmeret, a guardianship of a certain amount of time, that they're not going to speak Lashon Hara, and they say, call me back in a half an hour, I can't talk now, it's my no Lashon Hara time. Okay, maybe not quite that. A therapist once shared with me how change occurs. She called it the analogy of the pit. When we do something the same way each day, changing is hard. And imagine you walk a certain path, and there's a pit in that path. And so you walk that path, you fall in the pit. You get up, wipe yourself off, and say, tomorrow I'm not going to fall in that pit. But alas, the next day you fall in the pit again. And again, you say, tomorrow I'm not going to fall in that pit. And this pattern keeps happening until the day when your foot steps off the ground, over the threshold of the pit. Your center of gravity moves forward, and you realize as you're falling, oh, the pit. It's a disheartening moment, but the truth is, it's a breakthrough moment. We just don't know it yet. Because the ability to see what you're doing as you're doing it, that recognition, that's a breakthrough. Not just realizing it after the fact. And from there, he will actually get to a place where he'll be able to stop himself before the pit and won't fall in the pit. Ki kashalta ba'avonecha, you stumble in your sins. When we recognize ourselves stumbling in the sin, that's actually a tremendous breakthrough moment, instead of recognizing only afterwards that I sinned. So ends the book of Hosea. So where are we now? We've been the Jericho rose, planted and replanted in distant lands, blown from place to place. We've Yashuvu Yoshvei Betzilo. Many have returned to live in Israel and dwell in the shade of holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. Though it's in ruins, its sparks of holiness remains. And in fact, we're on the cusp of the majority of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Have we reached Yichayu Dagan? We will live off the grain? Partially, but not fully yet. Israel is still importing more agriculture than it exports, but we're getting closer and closer. Perhaps we feel like the stage in chapter 2, where Hashem gave us our vineyard and turned the valley of despair into an opening of hope. May we soon have the final stage. Erastich li li'olam, and I will betroth you to me forever. May it be in a revealed way with true das Elokim, knowledge of God. Thank you for the privilege of learning with you, Sefer Hosea. Thank you for learning Le'iloi Nishmas, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Sa'ud.